Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
The Bible says that Jesus always spoke in parables. He always drew illustrations from everyday life. And he said without a parable, without a story like that, he didn't teach. So we need to learn from him. He was the master teacher. Amen? But we can look at the Old Testament, and even though we might not be physically going into battle with spears and swords riding on horses or chariots, we can make spiritual parallels into our life today and see how we need to be as wise women. Amen? So we're going to look at the life of a little girl. I call her a little girl. I don't know. Maybe she was big. But a little girl named Jael. And her name means wild goat, and you might see why she was called that, I don't know. But anyway, we're going to look at her life, and what I asked the secretaries to do was to go ahead and pass you out Judges 4 and 5. Did you guys get it? When you came in, did everybody get it? Okay, well, it's going to be on the overheads too, but we're looking at Jael, who I'm calling the enemy assassin. She was. There's no other way to describe her. She was amazing. But let's look at Judges 4, and I've chosen the voice translation because I like certain passages, the way it makes it clear. But certain things, like it calls God the eternal, I don't know, I'm going to call him the eternal God as I'm reading through. But if you could follow me, I want to read through, I'm going to try to read through fairly briefly, or quickly, I should say. And then in the teaching, I'm going to be going back to certain passages. So that way you have the whole story. And it goes through two chapters, because in Judges 5, Deborah and Barack, I don't know his name. We have a Barack Obama in our country, so I tend to pronounce it Barack, but maybe it was Barack. I don't know. But anyway, they made up a song. They sang a song through Judges 5, and it gives us some more insight as to what happened, a few more details. So are you ready? Are you with me? Everybody got your glasses on, and we're good to go? Okay, and also I had some water. What happened to it? Did I? Okay. I know I'm going to need that. Anyway, oh, thank you. Okay, everybody good? I didn't introduce myself, but I think most of you know me. Anybody here for the first time? Okay. My name is Sue Bryan. I guess that says that up there. And my husband and I are the children's pastors, the senior children's pastors here. We've been here like 21 years, so God's been faithful. And I can tell you, we've been right alongside our pastors, and they are amazing. So, you know, if you're looking for skeletons in the closet, there ain't none. They're good, okay? Bless you. Okay, so anyway, let's look at Judges 4, starting with the first verse. It says, after King Ahab died, the people returned to doing what the eternal God said was evil. King Ahab was the king over the children of, well, he was a king in that land. They were actually transitioning from judges to kings, and judges being more over the people, but he was a good king. And then the people began to do evil. So the eternal God made them subservient to Jabin, king of Canaan. Now they'd come into Canaan. They had, you know, the Battle of Jericho, where Joshua won the Battle of Jericho, and they came in strong, and they took over Canaan. And now they've been bad for a while. So now they've come under this king Jabin, at least for this region. It says he was king of Canaan, who ruled from Hazor. Jabin's general was a man named Sisera, who lived in Harosheth, Hey, Goyim. I'm doing pretty good on that. The people of Israel cried out to the eternal God again for help. Since Sisera had 900 iron chariots, he prevailed against and oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. 20 years, he had 900 iron chariots. And now the translator kind of makes this comment here that I think is good. It says, these iron chariots are especially potent assault vehicles against the Israelites on the plains, but not so much in the mountainous regions. So we're going to look at how they were able to defeat them. At that time, Deborah the prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, served as judge over Israel. Israel had judges that ruled. And it was God, it was a theocracy. God was ruling and reigning, and he was ministering justice and wisdom through judges and prophets that he would anoint and appoint. She used to sit beneath the palm tree of Deborah, situated in the hill country of Ephraim, between Ramah and Bethel. And the people would go up to her there to settle disputes. She urgently sent for Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali. This is what Deborah said. The eternal God of Israel commands you, go and get into position near Mount Tabor. Take 10,000 soldiers from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. That was two of the tribes. There were 12 tribes of Israel. These were the sons of Jacob. And now she's just speaking of two of the tribes. Take 10,000 soldiers from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. I, or this is God speaking, will draw out Sisera, Jabin's general, his main man, to meet you at the Wadi or River Kishon, and his chariots and his army, I will deliver him to you. So God's speaking through the prophet judge Deborah, and she's saying to Barak, get 10,000 soldiers and go to the River Kishon, and you're going to defeat Jabin, Sisera, Jabin's general, and all of his army, all those 900 chariots. Don't worry about it. You're going to defeat them. So Barak said to Deborah, I will do this if you will go with me. She's a woman. He's over all these 10,000 armies. I'll do this if you go with me. But if you won't, then I won't go either. Says, if you're not going to go with me, I'm not going to go. Now, this is pretty amazing. She's a woman. But it was the anointing of God upon her that he trusted. I know I'm hearing from God through you. And if you're with me, I've got a good chance of winning. But it's amazing that he didn't trust in his own ability and what God had said, that if you go, God said through her, if you go with 10,000 men, you're going to defeat them. So there was some unbelief going on here with Barak. Deborah said, I will certainly go with you, but you should know from the beginning that this battle will not lead to your personal victory. The eternal God has decreed that the mighty Sisera will be defeated by a woman. Now, if I was Jabin, if I was Barak, I'd be thinking, oh, I guess he's going to defeat him through you, Deborah. You know, it was the only woman he kind of had involved. But let's go on. Then Deborah got up and accompanied Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun, and they sent 10,000 men to follow him. With Deborah, they went to Kadesh. Now Heber, the Kenite, had separated himself from all the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. He was actually a Canaanite, and had camped far away under the great tree of Zaananim. If you have a lot of A's, you got to elongate there. Zaananim. Near Kadesh. So, 10,000 troops started assembling at Kadesh, and this man, Heber the Kenite, his tent was there near Kadesh. So do you think that they were aware that 10,000 troops were now assembling in Kadesh? I think they had a clue. When Sisera the general heard that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up in force to Mount Tabor, he called out all 900 of his iron chariots and all the soldiers who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim and the river Kishon. So Deborah said to Barak, get up, for this is the day that the eternal God has given you victory over Sisera. In fact, he has already gone out ahead of you. I don't want to get into my notes too quickly, but I want to tell you that whatever God has told you to do, he's already gone before you and prepared the way. God, okay? So she said to him, in fact, he's already gone ahead of you, gone out ahead of you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 warriors following. As Barak and his forces watched, the eternal God threw Sisera and all his chariots and his entire army into a panic before them. They just went into a panic. That sounds similar to 2 Chronicles 20:22, when the praisers went out before the children of Israel just praising God. And God caused the enemy just to destroy themselves. See, we got to worship God. Put him first. He'll take care of the enemy. Amen? So he caused them to go into a panic. All Sisera's army died by the sword. Sisera himself, hero man that he was, climbed down from his chariot and escaped on foot. While Barak and his army pursued Sisera's chariots and army all the way back to Harosheth Hagoyim, all of Sisera's warriors perished by the sword. Not one of them was left alive. 900 iron chariots. Israel quaking in their boots. But God says, gather up 10,000 men and go defeat them. Causes them to go into a panic, and they're able to chase them down and kill them. Sisera had fled to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. And he must have thought himself safe at last, since there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and Heber the Kenite. So here's this man that obviously was known by the king, Heber, her husband, Jael's husband. There was peace between the king and him. So Jael figures, this is a safe tent for me to hide out in. Jael went out to meet Sisera. So she goes out of her tent and she meets him. Obviously, she knew who he was. And she says, come in, my lord, come in with me. There is nothing to be afraid of here. Just a sweet little girl. Nothing to be afraid of. So he came inside the tent with her, and she covered him with a rug, or another translation says a blanket, just in case some of Barak's soldiers came looking for him. So she was going to hide him out. May I have a little water to drink? He was very thirsty. This is what he said to her. So she opened a skin filled with milk and gave him a little, then covered him again. You know, if your kids are hungry at night, give them a glass of milk. They'll sleep better. They don't need a big snack, just a glass of milk. My mom taught me that. That was free. It worked for Sisera. Sisera said, stand and wait at the opening to the tent, and if anyone comes and asks you, is anyone inside, tell them no. So Sisera fell into a deep sleep, and he was weary. Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg, just happened to have one with me, took a tent peg, looked about like that. I went online, saw pictures, but we didn't get them posted today. Anyway, she took a tent peg in one hand and a hammer in the other. She crept softly to his side. Then she drove the peg into his temple and down into the ground and killed him. This is a mean little sucker. Now, no doubt, this was a nomadic tribe, and they were probably tearing up that tent and pitching it quite a bit, so she knew her way around the tent peg and the hammer, and she probably had a mean right arm. But she crept up to him as he slept soundly, and you know when they're sleeping soundly, you can hear the snore for three tents over, and she took the tent peg and drove it through his temples, the weak place in his head, and drove it through his head and into the ground. This actually happened. That was a pretty brave lady, would you say? Yeah. When Barak came looking for Sisera, Jael went out to meet him. She said, come inside, and I will show you the man you seek. So he went into the tent with her, and there lay Sisera dead, with a tent peg driven through his head. On that day, God vanquished Jabin, king of Canaan, before the people of Israel, and the Israelites bore down harder and harder on him until at last Jabin, king of Canaan, was destroyed. So this battle and the killing of Sisera, his main general, was the beginning of the end for the Canaanites through the king Jabin having rule, oppressive rule over the Israelites, and that this had gone on for 20 years. I think it's at the end of your chapter 5, I have it written down. Yes, that after this victory, the people knew peace from war for 40 years. 40 years of peace because of one battle and taking out one general by a little woman. Isn't that good? Now let's look at Judges 5 quickly. And this is a song that Deborah and Barak began to sing of the victory. They said, and now we don't have musical accompaniment today, but they sang, "The leaders of Israel stood up, and the people offered themselves willingly. Praise the Eternal One. Listen, all you kings, and pay attention, you rulers. I will sing to the Eternal. I will sing praise to him, the true God of Israel. Eternal One, when you sent out from Seir and marched from the field of Edom." Listen to this. This is what God's part was in this battle. "The earth shook and the heavens poured. Yes, the clouds poured water. The mountains flowed like water before the Eternal, the God of Sinai. They melted into a flood before the Eternal One, the true God of Israel." So God caused the heavens to open up. You try iron chariots in the mountains with rain. That's not a good combination. So here's the Canaanites, they're trusting in the arm of the flesh. They're trusting in these mighty iron chariots. And they were mighty in battle. That they were oppressing the Israelites for 20 years because they didn't think they could defeat them. But then 10,000 footmen in the mountains has the edge of advantage. "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, and in the days of Jael," see, here she is, they're singing about her. She's now become a household name. "The main roads were empty of caravans, and the travelers kept to back roads." In other words, in those days, because of fear, people weren't even traveling the main roads. They were taking the back roads. "And from those rural areas stayed away, the destitute in Israel kept far off." They were under oppression. "Until I, Deborah," she's thinking of herself, she has a healthy self-image, I love it. "Until I, Deborah, arose to be a mother to Israel." They had chosen new gods. Israel had done this. So war came to their gates. They opened the door to attack through worshiping false gods, through giving their attention to other things and not giving God all of their heart and all of their devotion. They had chosen new gods, so war came to their gates. "Was there a spear or shield to be found then among the 40,000 of Israel?" They didn't have any weapons. They were, you know, they were trusting God. They, for the most part, they were just going where he said go, living where he said live. It says, "My heart warmed by those in Israel, called to command them who offered themselves willingly to the people. Praise the Eternal One. Sing this song, those of you who now ride white donkeys and sit on rich carpets, you who travel along the road." In other words, she's saying, sing this song, you that are comfortable and don't know this period of time that we went through. "All of you now hear the sound of shepherds at the watering places. Proclaim the just victories of the Eternal God, the just triumphs of his destitute people in Israel, and the people of the Eternal God go down to the gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up and sing. Get up, Barak. Get up and carry off your captives, O son of Abinoam." Then down went a surviving people to those who were noble, and the Eternal One marched to me with the mighty. "People with roots in Ephraim went down against the Amalekites after you, O Benjamin, with your people." She's singing past victories. "For Maker marched there, those commanders, and from Zebulun went those carrying the staff of a scribe. The chiefs of Issachar came with Deborah. Issachar was faithful to Barak. And they rushed into the valley close to his heels. And the clans of Reuben wondered in their heart, why did you remain idle and aloof in the sheepfolds?" Now she's singing about the other tribes that did not help. There were 12 tribes to hear whistling for the stocks. "And the clans of Reuben wondered in their heart, why did those of Gilead remain beyond the Jordan? Why did the people of Dan," these are talking about the other tribes, "stand with their ships? Why did the people of Asher stay on the coast, settling down where they landed? But Zebulun did not fear death." Zebulun and Naphtali were the two tribes that sent the 10,000 men to go with Barak. "But Zebulun did not fear death, and Naphtali too stared down death on the heights where the battle raged." They sent 10,000 troops. They were courageous. Amen? "The kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan made war. They fought at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo, and they won no spoils of silver. The stars themselves fought against them from the heavens. The stars fought against Sisera. The raging waters of Kishon swept them away." This is where God had gotten involved. "The raging waters of Kishon. March forward, my soul. March on with strength. We read in verse 5 how the waters came flowing, like the mountains were flowing like water. And here he was there with iron chariots. The hooves of the horses beat loudly. The galloping of the horses echoed. A curse on Malaz, said the messenger of the Eternal One. May its people be bitterly cursed because they did not come to help the Eternal God, to stand with the Eternal God against the mighty foes. Listen to this. But Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, most blessed of women is she, favored above all women who dwell in tents. She's now honored for what she did. Sisera asked for water, and she gave him milk. She gave him curds in a dish fit for lords. And then she took a tent peg in her left hand and a worker's hammer in her right, and she struck Sisera. She broke and battered his head. She pierced his temple. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he dropped silent. At her feet he fell, he dropped, and where he dropped, there he lay dead. The mother of Sisera, listen to this, this gives us insight as to what this type of army would have done had they won. The mother of Sisera, this general, waited for him, watching through the lattice of the window. Why is his chariot so long in returning, she wondered. Where are the hoofbeats of his horses? Her wisest ladies in waiting have answers. In fact, she herself thinks she knows the reason. Aren't they still dividing the spoils of a successful battle? You know, here's Sisera, the general's mother, looking out, waiting for him. Deborah's singing this song. And she's conjecturing here that this is what happened. But she's saying, well, they're late. They haven't come back yet because they must be dividing up the spoils. They've won the victory. And so when an army would win, they would typically divide up the spoils. Now, the children of Israel didn't generally do this. God would just say, it's not about all that stuff. Don't have anything to do with it. Annihilate them all and leave. Sometimes they did take spoils. But then listen to this. She says, aren't they dividing the spoils of a successful battle? A girl or two given to every man? This is what would have happened to Israel, the daughters of Israel. When an enemy nation would take over Israel, then and they would be defeated, they would take their women. That's why David, you know, and his mighty men, they had to go to Ziklag and get the women back. They would take the young girls, and this happens in many countries. You guys read the same papers and watch the same news I do. In many countries, they take the young women and they divide them up. And they go off with the enemy to be their wives and their concubines. A girl or two given to every man, spoils of beautiful dyed cloth for Sisera. Spoils of dyed cloth, beautifully embroidered. Indeed, two pieces of beautiful embroidered cloth for my neck. This is, you know, Deborah singing about what Sisera and his mother, Sisera's mother and her maidens would be maybe singing and thinking of as they were waiting for Sisera to come back, but he is now dead. So may all your enemies perish, O Eternal One, but may those who love you be like the sun, rising and going forth with power. That's us, ladies. May those who love you be like the sun, rising and going forth with power. And then we know that Israel experienced 40 years of peace following that battle. Following, especially the general being taken out. You don't take out the general, he goes and gathers more troops. So it was a key person, and God used Jael. Did you get something with that? Yeah. Well, I'm not done. I just want to make sure you're with me. That was a long read. But let's look at Jael, and let's draw some spiritual truths and see what it is that we can do today. Because I'm not living in a tent, hallelujah. If I was, I would still have a roof over my head, so I'd be thankful. But we're not a nomadic society for the most part here. I'm not living in a tent, and I don't have a tent peg and a hammer at hand if an enemy comes through the door, usually. Amen? Let's look at what we can learn from Jael. Number one, she was focused. She was focused. She no doubt knew that 10,000 troops were aligning themselves to go with Barak in Kadesh because her tent was pitched right by there. And even though her husband, she was a Canaanite, and her husband had an alliance with King Jabin, so she wouldn't have to worry about her own safety, there were a lot of rumors that went around about the children of Israel when God came on the scene. They knew about the battles at Jericho. They knew about the different places. And for some reason, she was there on the side of Israel. She was focused. She had her head in the game. She was very aware of what was going on. I think sometimes we, because the enemy tells us that we're nothing, that we have no, I mean, who are we? Maybe you know, you're not even the most prominent person in your family, or maybe you don't have a lot of things, or are recognized for being especially intelligent or educated or any of those things. But just that low self-worth that the enemy attacks, especially women with, he knows us pretty good. He was there in the garden. We think, who am I? What can I do in this situation? There can be all hell breaking out around you, and it's like, well, maybe somebody else needs to do something about this. But Jael was focused. She knew what she was about. So when Sisera appeared, she already had a plan. I'm going to meet this guy. I see him coming. I know this is Sisera, the general. I'm just going to invite him into my tent to take a nap. She knew exactly what she was going to do. She had a plan. She was focused. And we need to be wise and know the time that we're living in. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. We've been called to resist the devil, see how many people we can call and moan about what he's doing. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we need prayer power, and you've got to let your friends know what's going on so they know how to pray. So I'm not condemning that, but we have to get up from that place of self-pity and why me and oh no, and resist him. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your sisterhood in the world. The same afflictions are among the brethren or among the sisters. It might just not be your time, but there may be a similar something going on in somebody else's life that she's going to have to use her faith for her situation just like you are. But it says that we're to resist him. Let's look at the Amplified. I like what it says. It says, be well balanced, be temperate, be sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, listen to this, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger. You know, years ago, we used to sing little songs, and we've been involved with children's ministry so long. I almost had this impression about, you know, we'd say little things like, well, he goes about as a roaring lion, but he doesn't have any teeth. You know, he's just going to try to gum you to get death. And we'd all laugh. You know, the devil, you know. But let me tell you, he is no match for God. God created him, and evil was spawned in his heart. He was one angel. It was kicked out of heaven by another angel. So don't kid yourself. But on the other hand, he is the God, the little g God of this world system. And he has a massive intelligence that through the eons, he has culminated and set up a lot of things to come against, especially our young people in this day and age. He's aligned things. And there's some nasty devils out there that are telling some really big lies. And it breaks my heart that our country's just believing some big whoppers. And if you believe a lie, it becomes the truth for you. And so on the one hand, we can't go, oh, the devil, and run and hide under our bed. But on the other hand, we can't be foolish and think that he's not going to try to get your marriage. He's not going to try to get your kids. He's not going to try to take you down physically. He is a bad devil. And again, I'm not trying to stay on the dark side today and amplify him. He's an exhibitionist, so he loves being talked about. But before you can defeat the enemy, you got to know his tactics. If you go in the huddle room or whatever they call it, where the coach is there with his team, he is strategizing. They watch videos of their opponent, the team they're going up against. They study them, what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are. And we don't even like, we don't want to think about the devil. We don't want to look at the devil. We don't even like those verses. But that's what he wants. He wants us to think he's not there and he's not doing anything. And so just, you know, be flagrant with your time. Just, you know, for hours, watch TV or video games or, you know, what is it, Candy Crush? I don't know. I keep getting invited to those things. I go, I do not need Candy Crush in my life. I'm sorry. If you do Candy Crush, forgive me. If you've invited me, I'm sorry, I didn't accept. But I think there's so many things in our society, especially the rest of the world, Christians are like dying for their faith, and we are letting the enemy lull us into thinking that we're just playing patty cakes and tiddlywinks, and we're not. We're in a warfare. Have you caught on? Are you guys out there? You're just looking at me like, I'm not trying to be mean today, but we need to wake up to the hour that we live in. In the Amplified, it says, because the devil roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. He's seeking someone to seize upon and devour. And so we've got to be wise women and guard the boundaries of our home. Guard the sphere of influence that we're in. Guard our families. I'm not willing for my children to go to hell. I'm not willing for my nephews to go to hell. I'm not willing for brothers or sisters that I have to go to hell. I'm not willing. But we have to be willing to pay the price to fight for their salvation. Are you with me? It says, withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. That was Jael that day. She saw Sisera and she said, I'm going to take him out. I don't know what kind of revelation she had that she knew that she could do that. But that was a focused, determined woman that she was going to stay on the good side and she was going to help Israel that day. It says we have to be rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to our sisters, the whole body of Christ, throughout the world. We have to see ourselves as someone that can do something about the situation. If you're depressed, if you're down on yourself, if you think you can't do anything, if you think you don't know anything, if you think that God's going to use everybody else but you, then the enemy is going to eat your lunch. You've got to realize that greater is he that is in you, whom God put there because you said, I want to be Jesus my Lord. I want to make Jesus my Lord. His spirit is within you to make you mighty and to do mighty things in the spirit. You're not necessarily going to look like a Xena warrior princess or whatever that show used to be. But in the spirit, you will. And we're going to find out a lot when we get to heaven. Amen? So like Esther, we were born for such a time as this. And we have to discern the times. We have to know the hour. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says that we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. And I see so many of us being, and I'm guilty many times. I see so many of us just being kind of lulled into a comfort zone of wasting time. Not that you can't have times of recreation. Not that you can't do things and relax. I'm not saying that. But when the Holy Spirit's prompting us to pray and we just stuff it and ignore him and choose to just, you know, satisfy the cravings of our flesh, then we're not redeeming the time. We're not discerning the hour. And that's what Jael did. Amen? Number two, she was aggressive with her faith. She was aggressive. She didn't wait for someone else to do it. I've already meddled on that. She didn't wait for someone else, but she was aggressive. And she didn't hesitate in fear. This is where the enemy gets us many times. I think, man, the spirit of might, something must have come on her. That she would think that this general, with all his armor, probably had his sword laying right next to him, that she could take a tent peg and just take him out. I don't know. If she would have hesitated a moment, she probably wouldn't have done that. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit. And the King James says the spirit is a spirit. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That word is dunamis. It's dynamite, blow up the devil, power. that Jesus said we would receive in Acts 1:8. He said, you will receive power. You will receive dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, we are weapons going somewhere to happen, ladies. Are you with me? Are you hearing me today? You're looking so sweet, but I want some feedback. It says, God has not given us that spirit of fear. I think it's in the Amplified. It says, a fawning, cringing fear that we retort and go, I can't do anything. The devil's getting my family. The devil's put a disease on me. The devil. He says, he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis, miraculous working power of God, and of love, agape love, and a sound mind, a disciplined mind. But you've got to believe that, and you've got to say that. That was one of the first verses I taught my kids. You know, kids always get attacked with fear at night. You know, there's monsters under the bed. You know that. And so that was one of the first scriptures I remember teaching my kids as they lay in bed as little 3- and 4-year-olds. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Say, God has not given me. God has not given me. Spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. But love, power, sound mind. Sound mind. A disciplined mind. She was courageous and she was aggressive with her faith. And we need to be aggressive. The enemy may seem like he has more power, but we have power, way more power, and we have authority. Now, there might be a bodybuilder out in the middle of the street, but a little wimpy little traffic controller police with a whistle and a gun on his hip has more authority. So the enemy might come on the scene large and in charge and trying to mess, and it looks like, oh my gosh, when the dust settles, what happened here? But he has no authority. He only has the authority that you give him when you yield to fear. Fear is faith in what the devil's doing. It's saying, devil, I think you have more power here. Fear is yielding to his lies and putting your confidence in his ability greater than God's ability. But God has given us faith, and he's given us authority. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us authority, not in our own ability, but in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has defeated the devil. Amen? But the trick here is, sometimes I feel sorry for God. I mean, I know we shouldn't feel sorry for God, but he's got to use us. That's the trick. He knows he's got all the ability. I mean, here's Barack. I'll only go into battle if you come with me, you skinny little woman. You used to sitting at the bottom of a tree giving counsel. I'm sure you're going to help. He had confidence in the anointing that was upon her, and he figured if I've got her with her, I'm not going to die because she's not going to die. But God has more than enough power on reserve. He's filled us with his spirit. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But we have to believe it, because we're the ones that have to enforce the power on the scene to defeat the enemy. Are you with me? So we're key to this whole thing. He's given us authority in his name, and we can take authority over the enemy. Amen? What did Deborah say to Barak in Judges 4:14? She said, he has already gone ahead of you. And if we could get that in our hearts more, God has already gone ahead of us. He has already defeated anything that the enemy could come up with. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, guess what? It is finished. We have to believe that, and then we have to be enforcers of that with our faith. We believe it, and therefore we declare it and stand. And the Bible says, when we've done all to stand, we stand. Amen? Number 3, Jael was willing to do whatever it took. She was a whatever it takes girl. I love it. She was willing to do whatever it took. What did she have? Did she have a full set of armor? Did she have a finely sharpened dagger? Did she have an AK-47? No. In her little tent, she had a tent peg and she had a hammer. We need to ask ourselves, what is in my hands? to do? What is in my hands? What is at my disposal that I can defeat the enemy with? What are my weapons? We need to know what our weapons are, and we can be skillful with them. David had a slingshot, but he was used to using it. She was used to using that tent peg and that hammer. She'd driven in probably so many tents, setting them up and tearing them down, she'd probably do it with her eyes closed. David had a slingshot, but he'd taken out a bear with it, he'd taken out a lion with. He knew what he could do with that slingshot. We've got weapons, but we've got to start using them and become accurate in applying them. Number one weapon, more than anything, is prayer. Everything starts with prayer. Everything starts with prayer. Write that down. Put a big circle around it. Put an asterisk. Put a highlighter on it. Everything begins with prayer. Are you having trouble with a relationship in your life? Is that daughter-in-law, does she just make you crazy? It starts with prayer. Is that husband, oh my gosh, if he comes home drunk one more time, starts with prayer. You've got to start with prayer. And when you take it to God in prayer, and you commit things to him in prayer, and you do your battle in prayer, then many times he will give you the wisdom to walk it out. He will give you the grace. He will give you the love. You know, we have to love these relatives with the God kind of love. We're not going to feel like it. Are you kidding me? They don't even know how to do their laundry right. We've got some strange relatives. We really do. But when you let the love of God flow through you to them, and it's not about your blasted opinion, it's not about the right floor cleaner, it's not about any of those things that you think are so important. Would they spank their kids enough? You spanked your kids, yeah, and they don't want anything to do with you now. No, you're supposed to spank, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, many times we get real, we get pride around our opinions and the way we've done things. And everything that we've done has not been right. Amen? Now, I'm big one on spanking, so don't take that out of proportion. But anyway, see me later if you have issues with that. But it starts with prayer. Ephesians 6:12 describes the whole armor that we have, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, all the armor, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace to go forth and declare the gospel. But then, after it describes the armor, it says praying. It's prayer armor. So you put on your armor, you know who you are, and then you begin to do battle in prayer. Take out, like Jael did, take out the general that's over that thing. There's a demon over alcoholism. Take it out. There's a general. There's a demon over rebellion over your teenagers. Take it out. Get on your knees, do your battle in prayer, and God will give you wisdom on how to walk it out. Number two, you have a sword. You have prayer that's mighty, and then you have a sword. That is the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God spoken out of a faith-filled mouth. You believe it in your heart, and you declare it with your mouth, and it's a two-edged sword, the Bible says, going forth to cut and divide and to speak forth what God has established about that situation. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you've heard. That is not the last chapter. And so you find what God says about it. You find Isaiah 54:17 that says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord. Guess what? You don't even have to be there. Your children shall be taught of the Lord. In the Amplified, it says, obedient to his will, and great shall be their peace and their undisturbed composure. And you get that coming out of your mouth, they'll be acting stupid, and you say, no, devil, I believe that my child is a disciple taught of the Lord. God teaches him in the midnight hour when he's laying there because his conscience is so screwed up. My God will teach him, and great will be his peace and his undisturbed composure. He will yield to the Prince of Peace. He will walk with peace. He will walk with God. And you declare that out of your mouth, and there's a sword going forth to cut the power of the enemy and establish God's kingdom in your family and in your life. Do you believe that? Does somebody believe that today? Jael had an armor greater than Sisera's because she had God on her side. Amen. Never underestimate that. In the end, number four, in the end, she saved her nation and was honored by God. This little girl living in a tent because she boldly went where no man would go. And she trusted her God to strengthen her to be able to take out the general that was defeating the Israelites. She got God's attention. She was recorded for us for thousands of years for us to read about her. And like Deborah said, she's going to be remembered as defeating the battle. You won't get glory for this one. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, I love this because think about it. She was honored by God. She got God's attention where he would put her in the Word of God for us to read about her thousands and thousands of years later. What an honor. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I'm like, God, here I am. Don't look any further. Your eyes are going to and fro, but I'm right here. He says he's looking. Isn't this sad? Don't you feel sorry for God? No, we don't need to feel sorry for God, but think about it. His eyes, he's going to and fro over the earth trying to find some faithful people that will be loyal to him and honor him and serve him. Who wants to be counted today? I'm like, God, look no further. I am here. Let your will be established in me and through me. Let me be an establisher of your kingdom on this planet, on this earth. Are you with me? He wants to show himself strong in us, ladies, in us and through us. He wants to show up big time. He wants to take you from being a little nomadic tent dweller to the woman that the great judge and prophetess Deborah and Barak sing about. And we read about thousands of years later. God wants to make himself strong. So what is our reward when we do what God says do? We're going to have Proverbs 31, 28 through 31 as a reward. I love this. Your children are going to rise up. They're going to call you blessed because you took a stand in the family. Because you said, I will be Jael. I will take my tent peg. I will take my hammer. I will do what it takes to fight for my family and see them all come into the kingdom. This is of eternal significance, ladies. Your children will rise up and call you blessed. Your husband also, he's going to praise you. Yeah, you don't think he ever gives you a compliment? Trust me, you hang in there. Someday he's going to praise you. Many daughters have done well, but you're going to excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. Oh, boy, is it passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, say, I fear the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord, that means you put him first. You say no to some things in the flesh because you're determined to be God's loyal woman. The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Your works are going to praise you in the gates. It might not be by next Tuesday, but I'm telling you one thing about this season of life as you age, as you start seeing some fruit, and it can be very, very rewarding. If you're starting late, don't worry. Yesterday is past. It's forgiven. It's over. This is a new day in God. You keep going toward him, and people are going to call you blessed. Not that we do it for that, but that will happen. And then this is the greatest calling. This is the greatest reward. Matthew 25, 23. His Lord said to him, and this is what God's going to say to us, if we take our stand, if we do what he tells us to do, if we fight like Jael fought, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to look in our master's eyes, to look in the one that paid for the sin of the world, and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, just a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, and we will have eternal joy. Is it worth the fight, ladies? Is it worth the fight? We got to get real. We got to get serious. We need to be focused. We need to be aggressive with our faith. We need to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. Get off your butt and do something. And in the end, we will have impacted the world and be honored by God. And just like Deborah said, may those who love you, God, be like the sun, rising and going forth with power. That's us, ladies. Do you believe that? Let's give Jesus the glory today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.